Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, August 6, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time big book study meeting. Let's see, today we are reading from the big book. We're in the chapter, We Agnostics, and we're going to be on page 45 reading paragraph 3 today, and it starts with, we know how he feels. And ends with, on the page 46, with fleeting and soon lost. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Liat T.D., the 12 traditions, Laura R. Reading the text today in support is Mary Jane Z., Kara L., Elaine T. Newcomer greeter and sponsor info getter is Wendy B., and giving announcements later is Leslie M. Thank you all for the service today. It makes this meeting possible. The share ID numbers for this meeting's recorded line yesterday is 13238. That's 13,238, and that would be for Monday, August 6, 2019. And then we had a big book study meeting already this morning, and that would be for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time big book study, and that one is 13241, 13,241 for August 6, 2019. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Liat T.D. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everyone. The 12 steps, Liat T.D. from Northern California. First, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our life had become unmanageable. Then we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, we made the decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching, fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of all wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed, and we became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admit it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Liat T.D. I will now ask Laura R. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thanks, Melanie. This is Laura R., and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige diverge from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Laura R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and recording, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Please regard this as a star 1 key function on your phone keypad, not just your own personal mute phone. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter We Agnostics. We're on page 45 today and unpacking paragraph 3. It begins with, we know how he feels, and then ends with 46 on fleeting and soon lost. And I'd like to ask Mary Jane Z to open up this discussion today by reading that paragraph and then sharing her experience on it. Hi, Mary Jane.
Good morning, Melanie, and good morning, my fellows. This is Mary Jane Z, recovered in Kentucky. We know how he feels. We have shared his honest doubt and prejudice. Some of us have been violently anti-religious. To others, the word God brought up a particular idea of him with which someone had tried to impress them during childhood. Perhaps we rejected this particular conception because it seemed inadequate. With that rejection, we imagined we had abandoned the God idea entirely. We were bothered with the thought that faith and dependence upon a power beyond ourselves was somewhat weak, even cowardly. We looked upon this world of warring individuals, warring theological systems, and inexplicable calamity with deep skepticism. We looked askance at many individuals who claimed to be godly. How could a supreme being have anything to do with it all? And who could comprehend a supreme being anyhow? Yet, in other moments, we found ourselves thinking, when enchanted by a starlit night, who then made all this? There was a feeling of awe and wonder, but it was fleeting and soon lost. Well, the first thing I notice is there's a lot of we's. We. And they're right in this book, just like they teach us in working with others, that we're supposed to identify with the person we're talking to. So they're letting us know, hey, we felt the same way you felt. And, you know, coming in, I really didn't feel this way. You know, I had a God, but the God idea wasn't working. But somewhere in the program, I began to think, this is all a ridiculous construct. There's no such thing as a God. They're just telling us this to get us to do what they want us to do. And I really had a dark night of the soul where I thought, this is crazy. This is absolutely crazy. None of it's all made up. And then somehow it was kind of like, I felt like, you know how an embryo goes through all the different stages before it's born into a child. And I feel like that was maybe it was a reverse process I went through. I don't know. But it's like I came in with an idea of God somewhere in the middle. I lost it and thought it was crazy. And then I started thinking, okay, maybe there is, but mine isn't working. And I was introduced to a fellow after working the steps four or five times with people who, I guess, I don't know, they didn't have what I wanted, but I kept working with them. And finally, I was introduced to a fellow that had something that I wanted. I heard her on this line. And the thing she said to me when I told her my issues, she's like, oh, it's a step two problem. And so we had to go back and read this again. And I had to look up words like prejudice. And what does prejudice mean? A preconceived opinion that is not based on reason or actual experience. And she had me start looking every day for evidence that there was a God. Different things, you know, gratitude. Just watch what happens and see how God is manifesting. And over time, I began to see how agnostic I really was and how later on in this chapter, it's going to basically draw it on the line for us. Is God is or God isn't. And I made the leap, and I'm so thankful I did. So anybody out there, I can't wait to hear what you all are going to share on your experience with what's discussed in this chapter. And just keep coming back. And keep opening up, pry open that closed mind if you've got it. And because possibility is the word, not prejudice. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Jane Z, for getting us started. I'm going to open up the lines now for additional shares on that paragraph, which is paragraph 3 on page 45 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Please give me your first name and the first initial of your last name.
Freedom H.
Hi, Freedom.
Elaine T.
Hi, Elaine.
Beatrice O.
Hi, Beatrice.
Good morning.
Roz G.
Hey, Roz.
Leslie M.
Leslie M. Hi.
Hi. Patty D.
Patty D. Let's go with that lineup. I like that first six mix to get us started. Okay, I have Freedom H, Elaine T, Beatrice O, Roz G, Leslie M, and Patty D. Hey, good morning again, Freedom. It's your turn.
Thank you so much. Thank you for all who do service. I'm grateful member of OA. This really hits home for me because I grew up around people. I was pretty much sheltered with people that were extremists on a lot of brainwashing and false ideas about God, that he was hard and judgmental, and if you didn't, you know, dress like this or do exactly this thing, then you're on your way, you know, to hell, and you got to measure up to what I think God says should be done. And no, that's when I came to Al-Anon, it's like, wow, I was such love and kindness and humanity and such gentleness and such, wow, God's not right there condemning me that I don't measure up and he's going to strike me dead because I'm just, you know, I mean, it was just such arms open and gentleness and love and support and to where I felt safe to be humble and teachable and willing to want to do better in my life. And oh, I wish I would have had this the whole way through my life instead of all this communism. It's like this control, this you got to do it my way, or it's the highway, and if you don't do it my way and what I think it should be, because I'm the almighty, like they're little ego gods trying to be my ego god. And I'm like, no, that's not, you know, I need to search. You need to let me become independent and become who my higher power wants me to become, not who you think that this is a cookie cutter mold. This is the way it is. No, it's not like that. So, yeah, this program is beautiful, amazing. I feel like I've literally am having a brain transplant and de-brainwashing from living with. I've lived with many people from one extreme to the next with many different problems. I moved around a lot growing up and lived in different households, and each time there was a new experience. And this is, nothing would help me. Church, I couldn't understand nothing until I came to this program and was finally humble and willing and open. And I'm so thankful for this gentle, loving, kind program that the higher power, my personal feelings and beliefs are that the higher power put this upon Bill, that it's straight like Moses with the Ten Commandments to me. That's my opinion. But anyhow, yeah, so I can relate to this 100%, this idea that it would scare people. No wonder why nobody, you know, if I was scared to death when I thought that my higher power was this evil dictator that, oh, you weren't measuring up in his eyes and you're going to be punished. And it was horrible. I felt hopeless. I felt discouraged. I felt despair. But now that I'm here, I'm going, wow, there is hope. I can make this. He realizes I'm not perfect, and it's okay. It's all right that I'm not perfect, and he realizes that, and he accepts me, and he loves me, and it's okay. And I've never had that until this 12-step program, the alcohol book. So thank you, thank you, thank you, and I will mute. Thank you.
Thank you, Freedom H. Elaine T., it's your turn for your three, and then Beatrice O. will come in after you.
Hi, thanks, Melanie. This is Elaine T. out of Pittsburgh. Wow. Yeah, I too had problems, and I thought I was, I did have a faith. I believed in a God that was very much like said before me, tricky, dangerous, and I couldn't handle the direction that said, come up with a God of your own understanding, or, you know, make up your own God or whatever you want to call that, because I felt like that would be blasphemous. You know, God was who God was, and I couldn't change him. And thank you, God, he put into my head the question, so who says you know who I am? And it was like, oh my goodness. You know, I had taken all that childhood crap and mixed it in with, you know, perhaps my father's attitudes and my mother's attitudes and some of their stuff, and thought I had God. You know, and so trust was a big issue, a really big issue. But as I listened in the rooms and, you know, cleared the fog in my brain, I became willing to say, okay, well, then, God, you're going to have to show me who you are. And repeatedly, I was shown the things like at the end of the paragraph, you know, the stars and the Milky Way and the beautiful colors as the leaves changed. And I met people who had wonderful stories of compassion and forgiveness, and I thought, whoa, you know, this is a much better deal. I think I could trust this. Of course, I also went into therapy, and I know that's not a requirement, but for me it was, because I worked with humans who were trustworthy, and that helped me too. But I got to a point where I could trust in a higher power, and then everything seemed to blossom like a spring day. My higher power gave me the ability to see myself as something positive instead of negative. And of course, the minute I saw that, then all of a sudden you all started looking better. because, you know, I was judgmental and tricky, just like the God I thought I knew. Today I know that my higher power is the things that, and I call him God because I finally, I called him she, I called him it, I called him he, I called, you know, I finally got to the point where it really didn't matter. Didn't matter what you called him, that she or it was willing to accept our presence and awareness and help engage in a connection that would help us free ourselves from this bondage simply by asking. And that to me was probably is the best gift of this program. I did so much damage to my body, I'll never be normal, but I'm grateful that for today, HP leads me in a life that's far better than anything I've ever had. And I'll pass. Thank you. Could you hear me, Melanie?
I did. I had muted myself and caught myself. But thank you so much, Elaine, for your share. And it is Beatrice O's 3 minutes now, and then Roz will come in after you.
Good morning. This is Beatrice O from Northern California, recovering food addict. I really like this paragraph. I had to stop trying to figure out where God came from, I think, because, you know, I didn't believe in the Big Bang, and I finally realized that I didn't have the mental capacity to figure out where God came from. And I really like the line that Bill W. uses, that, you know, there was this devil and he was Boss Universe and Boss Universal, and he certainly had him. And that's kind of the way I felt, because I grew up with hypocrites. I grew up with a lot of legalism and a lot of condemnation. And I realized that when I got into these rooms, that all the small miracles in my life were God got me out of scrapes. It wasn't luck or, you know, serendipitous events, but that it was God who took care of me and brought me out of all the scrapes I was in as a child and as an adult. And so I know that the only pathway to God for me is that I'm a food addict. Because I can tell you right now, if I was not a food addict, I wouldn't have a need for God, because I could do everything myself. And the only time I ever struggle is, or I lose my abstinence, is I separate myself and I, from God with the food, or I think I can do it myself. So I have to stay snuggled up to God in order to have peace. And, you know, what came to me the other day is, I used to hear this a lot. It says, first a man takes a drink, then the drink takes a drink, and then the drink takes the man. And the other line I always used, heard, was dancing with the gorilla. When we start eating, and it's like dancing with the gorilla. It looks so cute in the beginning, but pretty soon that gorilla has you swinging across the dance floor. And
time.
Anyway, with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Beatrice O. Roz G., it's your turn for your 3 minutes, and then Leslie will come in after you.
Good morning, Melanie. My name is Roz G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And I'd like to focus on the starlit night part today. Isn't it coincidental that I have an engagement with a friend who lives in an area where it's very dark, and that Saturn and Jupiter are going to be well lit this month, and we're going to look through her telescope so that we can take a look at what these two planets look like. But what I want to say is that the God of my understanding created nature. And I've heard a lot of people in programs say that they feel closest to God when they are in nature. And when I think about the God of my understanding, I grew up with a God. I made people's behavior and traditions, and I'll just use the word traditions, my God. And I molded myself to that, you know, weekly attendance at church, more than that, you know, three times a week there, the clothes we wore, the phrases we used, the things we said, the mannerisms, those were all what I made God. And a sponsor pointed out to me, you're talking about people, not God, and you're resentful towards them, not God. And when I think about my understanding of God,
Roz, are you still with us?
Melanie, I just
you're back now, though. So you want to continue? Oh, she's cut out again. How about you come back to us when maybe you've moved along the route there in a better cell space? And so in the meantime, I'm going to move this over to Leslie M. to give her 3 minutes, and then Patty D. will come in after you, Leslie.
Good morning. Thank you, Melanie C., for your service and Team Tuesday. This is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. And, you know, this whole paragraph really speaks to me. I was raised in a religion growing up that was just given to me, and I was expected to do that. And, you know, with my childhood, it didn't really look like God was doing anything for me. And so I turned to my self-sufficiency. I turned to myself. I thought I had to take care of this. That's what it looked like for me, that adults got the control, had the power. So when I was an adult, I was going to have the power. And that's what definitely gave me the thought that, that, you know, a higher power was never going to do anything for me. But in the end, when I really, you know, went through this chapter specifically and questioned it, the question that I got to was that I didn't feel that I was worthy or deserving of any of the gifts that God would give me. I didn't really feel I was deserving of abstinence or neutrality around the food or a peaceful life. I believe that, you know, that I was inwardly too damaged for that. And so, you know, when I finally got to the point, and as I said in this specific chapter, when I got to the point where I could ask myself those questions, I was finally breaking down those old prejudices, that fixed ideas about a God who didn't care about me or, you know, that I wasn't worthy of. And so, you know, I'm also enchanted by this starlit night. I was lucky enough to get to live in Yosemite National Park for 2 years, and I saw a lot of enchanted starlit nights. But unfortunately, you know, it talks about this last sentence here, this is feeling of awe and wonder, but it was fleeting and soon lost. And that didn't take me to the place where these 12 steps have taken me, where this entire abstinence and working this program, taking all the actions that I've been directed to in this book and by my sponsor so that I could get to this spiritual awakening, which gives me that neutrality around the food and the mental obsession being removed without me doing anything. And, you know, I'm just so, so grateful for everything that I hear on the line and for these meetings. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Leslie. That would be Leslie M. Patty D., it's your 3 minutes, but I wanted to quickly take a moment, Patty, before you said anything, to let folks know right after you were going to open up the lines for additional people to comment on paragraph 3, page 45 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Hey, Patty, it's your turn now. Thanks.
Hi, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service. This is Patty D. from Matthews, North Carolina. I am a recovering compulsive overeater. You know, it's interesting because this whole chapter, when I first read it, I thought it didn't pertain to me, because as far as the whole God thing, I had a really strong relationship with God. And when I came into the program, I thought, okay, the God thing. Yeah, I've got that. I'm good. And I thought, wow, you know, I know so many people struggle with this, but I'm okay with this. I've got this. And yet what I didn't realize was as I went through the program, my whole issue was I didn't give my food to God. I thought, you know, I had given my life to God and given all these other things, but didn't give the food. And that's why I relapsed. And even now, as I'm in like my 58th day of abstinence, I had an issue yesterday where I struggled with some really uncomfortable feelings and didn't give it to God. Instead, I started working on it, you know, just washing it, kind of dealing with it myself, even had a talk with my sponsor and didn't share it. And it's like, here I go again, you know, just this whole self-will thing. And so, you know, I don't share the same feelings that the founders of OA share in this paragraph. I do share the awe and the wonder of creation. And I know, my God, but I still have what so many of us have, is the self-will and that I guess that struggle to surrender everything, including the food, including the powerlessness. And so even though I thought this chapter wasn't for me, it was for me. It's for all of us. So thank you for letting me share, and have a good day.
You're welcome. Thanks so much, Patty D. So the lines are going to be open now for additional folks to comment on that paragraph. It's going to be paragraph 3 on page 45 in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'll take about 3 or 4 more.
Deborah P.
Kim A. Margaret A. Margaret,
who was that? Margaret who?
Kim A.
I'm going to have Margaret say her name one more time.
Margot P.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Deborah P.
I got you,
Deborah.
Deborah
S.
Great. I just want to assure you folks that we have those. And then I think that's going to be it for right now. So I got Deborah P., Kim A., Margot P. Was it Deborah P.? I can't remember. Anyway, and Deborah S. Those 4 for right now, and we'll see what we come up with after that. Thank you so much. Okay, you are on, Deborah.
Oh, can you hear me?
I can. Loud and clear.
Oh, great. It's Deborah P., compulsive overeater. Good morning, everyone. And I just wanted to comment on the last part of that paragraph. Of course, I can't find it now. There was a feeling of awe and wonder, but it was fleeting and soon lost. You know, when I came in, I thought I had this part down pat. I mean, I probably thought I was maybe ahead of other people when it came to God, and I had a strong belief in God, but I couldn't stop eating, and I was a slave to my compulsion, and clearly they had something that I didn't have. So I think, you know, the way I see this is that my program, the people in the program, is kind of like, you know, people talk about nature being kind of proof of God. That's how I feel when I'm in nature. I'm just like, okay, yeah, there's definitely a God. But still, you know, you can still kind of be, you know, staring off into nature and be like, wow, you know, God is wonderful and great and all. But I think what the program has is kind of a tangible proof of God. Like when you see it, you know, people stepping up to the plate, like, yeah, I'll be your sponsor, you know, I'll walk through this with you, you know, I'll help you, you know, get out of this mess, and the fellowship, and it's just, yeah, it's kind of like proof of God, in my opinion, and it does not become fleeting when you're in the midst of that. And you know, my program is like something that no one can ever take away from me. It's something solid. And so that's all I wanted to share. Thank you. Have a great day.
Well, thank you so much, Deborah. Kim A., it's your turn, and then Margo will come in after you.
Hi, good morning. This is Kim A., and it's been a while since I've struggled with my concept of a higher power, but this chapter in the Big Book has come in handy when I've been sponsoring, and several of my proteges have come into the rooms, not against the idea of a higher power, but really just kind of not sure what they felt, kind of wanting to believe, which is, you know, step two, just that desire and that hope, but really just struggling with the idea. And, you know, I remind them that when we're in our disease, we're already using food as a higher power. Somebody had used the word slave, and that is such a great word. I mean, we're really a slave to food when we're active in our disease. So if one is willing to believe in a higher power, why not kind of make that jump in your head? Well, if I was already using food as a higher power, which I don't think any of us like really think that way, but I would help them see that. And then just reframe it in their heads as, you know what, I mean, if I really want this, then I'm going to try to make that jump to try to see a higher power as my defense against this. Because the Big Book tells us that we have no defense. Our only defense is a higher power. And as far as my own concept, it's really evolved over time as I've come to, I guess, get to know my higher power better and have a deeper relationship. And sometimes I do still struggle with, well, what is my higher power's will? And I'm not always really sure, but I pretty much always know what my higher power's will is not. I do know that my higher power loves me and wants me to feel good and wants me to be in a good place, both mentally and physically. So even if I don't know what my higher power's will is, if I can figure out what it is not, then by process of elimination, it makes things much easier. So thanks for letting me share. This is Kim A. in New York.
Thanks so much, Kim A. Margo P., you're next, and then Devorah S. will come after you. And we will have time for a couple more after that.
Thank you. My name is Margo P. Grateful to be on this call. I haven't shared for about a couple of weeks, and it has to do with my minutes that I have my cell phone. But I'm just grateful that I'm able to get on this call, able to relate to the message of today of the Big Book of Agnostic. We are Agnostic. And where it hits me more about my higher power, the spiritual connection that I have today that I didn't have when I was growing up. It was more like, go to the church, get on your knees and stay on your knee and pull your ears if you fall asleep on your knee and you pull your ears and get back on. That was the demanding of my God. And I thought that was supposed to be it. And then when I grew up, I got older, mature, and I said, that's not what I want. So I stopped going to religion and I started to hear other areas where I can find my God of understanding. And today I do have a God of understanding. And today I'm going with fear, but there's a message that I read in the book about, you know, that God has God demonstrates through me what he can do. And I have to ask him to remove my fear and direct his attention. And so I'll go my fear. And I asked for a meeting today at work, and that fear is coming in and out. And I said, let me get on the call. Let me do something about it so I don't get into that fear. Whew. And so, and it has to do with getting along with other people at work. And this person's on my list of my inventory with my sponsor. And so grateful that this is working so many ways. But the fear is like, how I'm going to present myself at this meeting with this person, with the supervisor. And I have to be prepared. But I'm going to trust God that he's going to come with me and sit there, and he's going to grant me the words of wisdom and knowledge what I need to say in this meeting. And I want to put this out for everybody to put me in prayer today, because it's very challenging, and trusting my higher power that he's going to be there with me. Thank you. That's all I have to share, Pat.
Thank you, Margo. That's Margo P. Devorah S., it's your turn for your 3 minutes, and then we'll open it up for two additional people.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Hi, yeah. How are you? Thank you so much, Melanie, and everyone on the line that makes this meeting possible. So You know, what stands out to me is this sentence, a couple of sentences here. Where is it? Oh, we rejected, perhaps we rejected this particular conception because it seemed inadequate. And then it goes on to say, you know, we were bothered with the thought of that faith and independence upon a dependence upon a power beyond ourselves was somewhat weak, even cowardly. And I look back, you know, my years of struggling with the food and trying to put it down. You know, that was weak. That was weak. You know, I couldn't cope with life. I couldn't cope with my emotions. So what did I do? I ate. And so, you know, that to me was, you know, that was not doing anything constructive. It was so destructive, that was like the easy way out. That was cowardly, you know? And I didn't know when I came into this program that, you know, that this was a spiritual program and that I needed to develop a power greater than myself. And to get close to that power and depend on that power, that to me was not at all why I came into this program. You know, I came into this program because I was morbidly obese and I wanted to lose weight and just give me what you got. And, you know, thank you very much. And I'm out of here. But here I am many years later and I'm still here. Why? Because this is what I do. I want to develop and I want to continue to develop this God thing. I want to continue seeking what God wants from me and to live in this spiritual life. Because I see what I was doing was so destructive and I wasn't getting anywhere. I was like that hamster in a cage going around and around in that wheel and not being able to stop. And this gives me a lot of hope. And it gives me my life. You know, I'm in the midst of, you know, selling my house, we're under contract. And, you know, my agnostic self wants to, run the whole show and tell everybody what they should do and da-da-da-da-da, and I just want to be in charge. And I know that that's not going to work. That's not the answer. And that's where I need to really lean into this to this step and to all the steps. And know that, you know, God has in store for me, you know, something that's the best thing for me. And I can't rearrange anything, nor do I want to. So I'm just going to continue working the steps and continue, you know, growing in this program and to seek God. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Devorah. Devorah S., the lines are open for two more additional people to comment before we close out the recorded portion of the meeting. Who would like to take those spots?
Patty T.
Sarita L.
Sarita L. Got it. Thanks. Hi, Patty. You're up first.
Oh, hi. This is Patty T. Did you call me?
I sure did.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Hi, Patty T. Recovered from Southern California today by the grace of God. And you know, I love this paragraph, boy, because it really applies to my whole experience growing up with the word God surrounding me in my childhood. I grew up with a lot of misconceptions of God, and which made me very almost violently anti-religious. And I also grew up being raised by an agnostic and a believer in God, neither of whom relied on God. So this program has really helped me. This book has taught me how to build and actively rely on that power greater than myself that I like to call God. You know, that good orderly direction that some people refer to, and learn to rely on that as opposed to just believing with a blind faith and still doing my own will. You know, aligning my will with this power's will today is my objective. And gosh, that's so freeing. It's just an emancipation in faith for me. And that's all I have. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Patty T. Sarit L., your 3 minutes. Good morning.
Hi, it's Sarit L. from Montreal. Thank you so much, Melanie, for your service. I'm in Boston right now. So glad to be with all of you, all of my people, because I'm living in a house. This past weekend was a bar mitzvah, and I didn't see much of my peoples. and I just living around all this garbage and this food, and God is walking me through this. It is unbelievable. I can probably count on one hand how many times I've been absent in my mom's house, and it is so difficult. It is so difficult. But I keep on getting reminded from people who are God with skin on that the same God that's with me in Montreal is the same God that's with me here. He didn't leave me, and I didn't leave him in Montreal. He's coming with me. He's here with me. And it all boils down to God as everything, or else he is nothing. And so I have to choose what God is. I am an addict. I don't want to feel anything. I'm addicted to excitement. I'm addicted to fear. I'm addicted to good chaos. But God is in the silence, and I try to run away from that silence. I don't want to hear him. I fight that. So my body, my feet just like run to the food for the action, for the chaos, for the creation of all this instability and chaos. And God is just in that pause, in that silence. So I have to like chain myself down through actions, through the positive actions that I know of, that I've been taught in these rooms, you know, meditation, step 11, fellowship, whatever it is, just the prayer. I chain my body down so that I can pause and reground myself and reconnect myself and plug into this power source. That's only the only source. It's not the food today. That's the answer to my problems. It's not the food today. I'm going to say that again. The food is not my answer today. It will never, ever, ever be my answer. I will try to make it my answer, but it will never, ever be the permanent solution. And God is my permanent solution. He can do it. And the capacity for faith comes from deep down within. It's inside of me. So it's inside of me back home. It's inside of me right here. And God can make me and help me walk through this. I know it. I'm hearing the messages. And I'm pausing to hear the messages today. Thank God. Thank God. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Sarit. Yeah, thank you. There's time for a two-minute share, it looks like. Would someone like to have that?
Sheila from Massachusetts.
Hi, Sheila. You can have it. 2 minutes for you, madam.
Oh, well, I was just thinking, well, I've been listening since 7 o'clock. I was just thinking, how good is our God, what he did for Bill and Bob. And some days I have to go back and look at history. And it's not always pretty. But, you know, it's what we all have today is what God did for Bill and Bob and Abby and all the rest of them. I just, you know, when I read that miracle that he had, and within minutes of his awakening, he was thinking about the steps and helping others. I mean, I feel that he, you know, God, the program is God-inspired. We say that so much. And I just need a little mustard seed today to grow, a little tiny willingness or whatever. I have God in my life, but I didn't always have God in my life. I took the faith that my immigrant parents brought to me and our whole family and my brothers and sisters, and I rejected it. But now as an adult, as a 77-year-old lady that is an addict, a food addict, I can open books and I can give the, I'm learning about it and I'm so excited about it. And I just want to remember today as I go through my day, how good is God to give us Bill and Bob and all the first 100. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it. That ended nicely. Sheila O., thank you so much for your share. And that will conclude the recorded portion of our meeting. We're going to wrap it up by saying the Serenity Prayer and saying the closing reading. Thanks so much for everyone that stuck with us and did service today. Stay tuned, though, for Wendy. She's going to greet some newcomers and get some sponsor contact info. And Leslie M. has some announcements for you. There's great things coming up here, especially in November. So please, Kara L., would you read page 164 of our big book? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.